Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Ah,
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom, all that are gathered here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Yah, praise Yah. For his many wonderful blessings, for his grace and his mercy, for the ability again to minister to my brothers and sisters and family, friend and foe alike this evening. I praise Yah, praise Yah. I'm glad coming in well tonight. Bless you all on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host for this evening on Blog Talk Radio, Straightway Truth. Teacher Shane McKnight here at the mic, here to again, to fellowship and to be in the Word. Hallelujah. To break bread. Good thing, good thing, good thing. I pray all is well with the righteous, and it should be. Hallelujah. And we're very grateful for a word we heard on Shabbat, talking about the gospel, talking about the infilling of the Spirit, and the covenant, and everything surrounding that. Very good, solid, sound word. I mean, that was right on time. Right on time. And I'm glad that the Most High, you know, he suffers not the little children to come unto him. And we are his children. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Oh, bless Yah, bless Yah, bless Yah. I know everyone had quite much to glean from yesterday's service. A lot to rest on. Hallelujah. Oh, very grateful for his word. Grateful for his rest. Entering into his rest. Oh, hallelujah. I guess this evening, this is what they call Super Bowl Sunday. Okay. I myself don't care too much. 2 cents for a bunch of football. Really don't understand. Nearly never understood the sport, but oh well. It is a sport. It is a game, and yes, it's entertainment. Oh, bless you all. Bless you all. I'm very grateful again to be able to minister this evening as we continue in the book of Hebrews, continue our journey through this book. It's been a very nice journey, very learning journey, very comforting journey. Sometimes it's been a journey to bring tears, bring joy. It's been good. It's been good. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let us continue from where we let off. I'm going to do a little bit of backtracking again because we have four brothers on this segment of Blog Talk Radio, and it seems like we are each one has about a month apart from broadcast to broadcast. I implore you again to next week tune in to Elder Becker's broadcast and hope you're edified by Dick and Bell's broadcast, well as all the broadcasts, the sister-to-sister broadcast. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Been up early this morning, about 3 a.m. Central Standard Time. Been collaborating with Brother Mike. We've got two projects going on here now, but it's for the children. For the children now, and it's an educational series that we're about to bring forth here soon. A lot of work going into it. He's working on one aspect, one project of dealing with the Hebrew alphabet, but it's going to be in an aspect, it's going to be in a way that even the children will be able to really, really adhere to it and really learn from it. And then the project that I'm working on is a little mini teaching series, taking certain subjects out of the Word of Yah, bringing it down to a child's level. I'm going to use cartoons in this. And teaching is going to be on the armor of Yah. And I pray that the Most High Yah will always lead and guide me and Brother Mike and give us all we need. He supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory. And we thank Him for that. Yeah, that's right, Brother Ugly. Brother Paul, it's going to have its debut probably on the Straightway Airs website. They have a website now. And that is going to be something that I talked with Sister Ashley today, and she wants, you know, a debut of these two items on that website. And we will do so. I, again, solicit your prayers for those in the body, especially our dear brother Steve in Canada, for his needs, for his infirmity. I just pray that you keep him in your prayers and supplications, as we are helpers one to another. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Yah. I've got a question mark. Okay. Hallelujah. Let us continue. Let us continue. Last time we were in the book of Hebrews, we were still centered around, we're in chapter 10, centered around going through the veil. And through a lot of teachings, we've learned a lot of aspects of what this means to go through the veil. And, you know, the word says in chapter 10, verse 20, we want to use that as a entry point, talking about his flesh. And that is a fellowship, you know, that we, you know, Pastor really hit on yesterday about the sufferings, the trials, the tribulations, everything that Christ suffered. He said, you know, and he said to us, his children, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. That as he has suffered in the flesh, so will we. So that, you know, his heart's desire, his passion through this suffering, that we, you know, that we will have the fellowship of his sufferings. Just like Paul always, you know, emphatically, if I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. And the Most High wants us to know the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, not nothing to bring us into a depressed state or to bring us down, but it's something there to mature us, something there to uplift us, something there, it is there to make us stronger in the faith. Because we have a forerunner that has went on before us, one that he said, I delight to do thy will, O Yah. It is in the volume of the book it is written of me. Because it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And a lot of people, you know, especially this religious world, they approach Christ from an outward view. But we that are in Christ, we understand him from an inward view. And how can we say that? Because he is in us and he is in him. We have the fellowship of the sufferings. We have like minds. That if we have any temptations, anything come upon us, that we have an advocate. We have someone that went before us. We have a first fruit, a forerunner that paved the way for us. He paved a highway of holiness for us. He conquered and had victory over everything that even we, the believer, may experience in our life. The word gave testimony that he was tempted in all points as we are, but he did it without sin. So if he's in us and we in him, and he did it without sin. He says you yourself in the fellowship of the suffering can do the same. Can do the same. Can do the same. But even before that, he said, "You having therefore brethren." Notice that word, brethren. Boldness, boldness, boldness. We talked about boldness. We looked at many aspects of boldness last time that we were in the book of Hebrews on this blog talk. And this boldness, is, as we learned, is nothing that we have manifested, nothing that we have planted, nothing that we have labored to do, but is something that has been given to us through Yeshua HaMashiach. As you read the whole chapter, if I can say that, in context. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood. By the blood. Now, how is this accomplished? You really think this boldness and having the entrance into the holiest, boldness to enter into. I'm always giving emphasis on this word in. We have many unruly and vain talkers that see from without, talking and backbiting and giving false witnesses to those that are within. He put his laws into our hearts. And he says, and in their minds will I write them. The covenant that I will make with them. Who? The brethren. And that is something that is in us that we really need to realize. That is that this, having the law written in our hearts and our minds, has given us boldness to enter into the holiest of all. And how was this accomplished? And again, I want to reemphasize it's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We read many accounts through, you know, our forefathers that had the Holy Spirit upon them. But Yeshua came to do something very, very, very divine, very, very unique. He desired the Spirit to be in us. Because it say it went on and said before, even in the same chapter, this Holy Spirit is a witness to us. And because we have this witness from the inside, we're not like the false witnesses that are viewing from the outside and they only can see the outward adorning of things. Now we, the people of Yah, have an inward adorning. This, again, you know, can build to this boldness of entering into the holiest. Entering into the holiest. Entering into the holiest. Entering into the holiest. And how we, you know, when you think about entering into the holiest, all of a sudden, once a person has given, you know, been given entrance into this holiest, then, you know, you see the sisters, you see the brothers. They have holiness in dress. Holiness in talk. They're holy in dress. They're holy in talk. Holy in walk. Holy in living. Now, let's look at this, you know, entrance into the holiest. Now, if you have not entered in, then how can you perform outwardly if there's nothing that is within? How can you be holy in dress if there's nothing on the inside adorning you? How can you be holy in talk if there is not that word that is in you? See, this entrance into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. I mean, we really need to look at this on many facets. And I pray by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight to really, really, really open our understanding to really meditate and to really look into this liberty wherein we have been called. Because it's great and it's mighty and it's joyful and glorious in our sight if we allow it to be. If we get our eyes from the out and start looking from within. It's amazing, you know, that deliverance does not deal with anything on the outside. It solely focuses, that gospel focuses with that one that was birthed on the inside. Christianity can only deal with that on the outside. You can really see that they can only preach, and that they can only teach, and they can only minister to flesh. Yeah, they may say that this Messiah is up on a tree and crucified, but it's as far as they go. They don't see the inward work, the inward workings, I guess, again, if I can say that, of what was going on in Christ to bring him to that point of taking that body that he behooved to be made like unto his brethren and put it up on a tree and slay it. And I'm talking about this boldness to enter into the holiest of all. And many people, and I've seen this many years, I've seen many people dress holy, somewhat talk holy, and walk in a form of holiness, but still, it was not in them. It was an outward showing, and it did not last that long. It was a temporal thing. Now, if we understand that we have entered into the holiest that is eternal, that gift which was promised us, that he would give unto the promise of the Father, I mean, this thing is immense when you really, really sit back and relish and meditate on this whole work and not look at it from the just only outside only, but look what went from within to accomplish this work. And many people glaze over that and never consider what was going on in the mind of Christ while he was yet on that tree. What was going on in the mind of Christ when he was yet walking 40 days upon this earth? What was in the mind of Christ when on the 50th day he poured out of his spirit? But he made known unto us his heart. Everything that was within him he made known unto us by his word. And here we are, the body of Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the bride. Nothing, you know, has changed from the very beginning as it was made when Yah said it was good. This is a marvelous thing. You really look at it and really just savor what has went on. This massive work of love, charity, gentleness, meekness, kindness. This hope to be in to entrance into the holiest of all that allows you to dress holy, to talk holy, to walk holy, and to live holy. And only this can be, you know, you got to be immersed in the Spirit. You in him, and then he in you. The surrendering unto the mighty Elohim. And you know, you can tell the voice of those who walk in the outer court. I see it daily. I hear it daily. I mean, it's reverberated daily by things that are said. And those who do not manifest this behavior Are they brethren? And they may ask, so do you think you can obtain salvation by works? You know, they see that, you know, that right there is something that they have witnessed from an outward look, from an outward observation. That phrase there is nothing that is of witness of anything that they have seen from within someone. So you think you can obtain salvation through your works? You know, and they think, you know, because we recite the commandments and renew our vows every Shabbat. And we say within ourselves, yea, we will do them. And we keep this as frontlets before our eyes. First and foremost in our vision. First and foremost in our hearing. You know, the commandments are more than just, you know, someone up there, you know, just reciting them and reciting them. Whereas many, you know, do it in fashion, as in times of old. And then the Most High would have to come along and say, you stink. Your commandments stink. Because your heart's no longer in it. Your soul's no longer in it. Your spirit's no longer in it. As we say the commandments, as we enter, you know, and prepare ourselves to receive the word of Yah, are we meditating still each and every time as each commandment is read? Or are we just going through the form and the fashion? So this is salvation by works, huh? As some may say. No! You know, I think our answer as a Hebrew, as a child of Yah, as one that has been born again, the new creature in Christ, the reason we do the things we do, and we'll use the word works, the works that happen in us. It's not because we do things from the outside, just reciting, you know, commandments that are based on love thy Elohim with all thy heart, soul, mind, everything that you can in your being, love him with. And the second is likened to the first. No, the works happen. And people glaze over this. Why? Why this boldness that I'm speaking about? The works happen because of what is taking place on the inside. We're not talking about words that are written on our forehead or that we can take a nail, nail it into the wall and hang a plaque, or take a little sign and pound it in the yard and then proclaim outwardly, look, we've got the Ten Commandments here. Look, it's on the wall. Look, I'm wearing a shirt. No, this covenant, the foundation of this covenant of the law written in our hearts, written in our minds. He said, well, I write them. Put it. He will put it in. And because of this, it gives us boldness to enter into the holiest within. And this can only be obtained by what has taken place within. And it says, and having a high priest over the house of Yah. And we are the house of Yah. Ye are the temple of Yah. Ye are the temple of the Spirit. And a high priest over the house of Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach. More boldness, more boldness, more boldness. Because we see this witness from the word set before us, and we receive it as it is so. And it is so. And then it has a semicolon there, and it says, because of all of this, this brethren, you have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have a new and living way, which he, Yeshua HaMashiach, has consecrated for us. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And because of this, now we have a high priest over us. We're the house, and he is over us. He is our protector. He is our provider. He gives us food, raiment, conjugal rights. And all of this, now we've considered all of this. Law written in hearts, written but put in our minds, and all this work that's been done within. To let us draw near with a true heart. True heart. And what has wrung his true heart? Because we've entered into the holiest of all. Because we have the law written in our hearts and our mind, we have the blood to wash us. We have a high priest over us. Such a great, great, great treasure of boldness. Treasure of boldness. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing to be in this covenant. That this, everything that we have read before, that it produces, this produces. This fruit produces a true heart that's in full assurance of faith. And the blood sprinkled has eradicated the evil conscience in our heart. And we are washed with pure water. And I'm talking about that spirit man, that true body. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, because we have his faith. Yesterday we entered into his rest, and because we entered into his rest, we get rest as we are co-inheritors, co-heirs with him. If he rests, so we rest. It's a beautiful trade-off to be in Yeshua, to be in the Master, to be in the Father, and the Father to be in you, and the Spirit to be in you, and Yeshua to be in you. Look at this fellowship. Look. At this boldness. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. This work of a mighty Messiah, this work of the Messiah, our profession, our faith, that is what we profess. That is what we proclaim. That is what we heard yesterday, the gospel. What did he say? Come. Come to set the captives free, to give the blind sight. Oh, yes, thanks be to Yah. Thanks be to Yah. Thanks be to Yah. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. And it said, let us. Come on, brethren, let us. Hold. And how are you holding this? We're not holding this with our natural hands. No. But it's something about our spirit man that he's holding on in his being. All this thing is taking place on the outside. The outward man, he perisheth. But even day by day, we need to let the inward man be renewed, to be refreshed, to be emboldened. We need to get our minds and our hearts and our conscience on the inward man. We have lived enough damn foolish, filthy life of the outward man. We know that flesh profiteth nothing. We have that witness. We have that testimony. And I know many of us would like at this time in this hour to take, you know, to find a zipper on this mortal body, to find a zipper on this corruption and zip it all the way down and step out of it. To, you know, to let it go back to where it came from. Boldness. Boldness, full assurance. Let us, brethren, that's the us, hold fast the profession of our, there's nobody else's faith. No, only those that are in has this faith.
But shall you think you can obtain salvation by your works?
Well, just like the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. And that says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But still, you know, in their minds, they look at this from an outward adorning. But this fear and trembling, you know, I tremble, you know, many times within myself, even though just thinking of the beauty of our Most High Yah and the work of Yeshua HaMashiach. And it's not a fear like I'm fearing Jason or Freddy Krueger or some Chucky doll running around. No, this fear is produced out of love. This is a holy fear. It is a reverence. Reverence. Because I know the one on the inside. I know who I am in, and we should know who we are in. So that gives us boldness, and that gives us strength to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because it said, for he is faithful, that promised, and who promised? Who promised? Who has the testimony of the promise? He promised. And many of us are walking with the promise in us that death, grave, no sting of sin, grave has no more victory, cannot hold us no more. We have gotten victory over the second death because we have already died. We were up on that tree with him. We have reckoned ourselves likewise in the same fellowship, in the same covenant, in the same like mind, in the same like manner we have received this. This is our confession. This is our profession. This is our faith. This we speak not of ourselves, but of the greater one who has done this. And we must always have our eyes on the prize, because that is our walk. That is our talk. That is our dress. That is our life, because we have entered into the holiest. Because of his flesh, because it was that body was upon a tree, that veil was rent in twain. He tasted death for us. That great love, that great compassion. And I tell you, saints of the Most High, the more you look at it, the more you savor to understand this compassion. It's like it is a good hunger. It is a good appetite to really, really understand the mind of Christ, where why would drive him to that extent. Yeah, we can see, you know, we can see the external body up on the tree. But we, the people of Yah, understand that to a greater depth. We know as we are up on the tree, we know what's going through our minds, through our emotions, through our whole being, our whole spirit. When we raise our hands and say hallelujah, that, you know, as the Yeshua was on that tree and them hands were spread out high and they were lifted up, that was surrender. And many times you see the saints when they're hallelujah, High praise the Most High. Them hands are up. We show an inward work. We show the impalement by our actions. And we don't look at the impalement, the death, as some burdensome thing. No, it drives us. It drives us to praise and give Him glory and to lift Him up and to magnify Him more and more, because we have entered into the holiest of all. We've been sprinkled by His blood. We don't worship with an evil conscience. We don't have that conscience no more because of Him. For He is faithful. That promised. And it goes on to say, and let us consider one another. After all this, as Christ has considered us, and that we have that testimony, how He has considered us now that you have this testimony, now that you see how I walk, now that you see how I love, now that you're in the holiest of all, and that you have these eyes to see and these ears to hear, to walk this walk, talk this talk, dress this dress, live this life. Now I want you to consider one another as I have considered you. What? To provoke unto love and good works. Everything that should be with our confession and our profession of faith, provoking us to good works. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Yes. Yet let us consider one another to arouse love and good works. And I tell you, brethren, if He's not on the inside, and if you not have believed the report, and you have not nothing on the inside, you have not received nothing from Him within, then what can you give if you don't have? Just as He said, you know, the one that hath not, it's going to be taken from him, but him that hath shall more be given. Now, a person look at that from a carnal perspective, from a logical sense, and say, that's broke. That's broke. The one that has not, he should be given a little bit. He should be given something. But that's not the way the Most High looks at it. But he that hath, Most High said he's faithful because he's got something to add to. The one that is empty has not done nothing with it, and there's no need no more to add to something that is not going to profit. If you got a parcel of ground and you've planted on it 1 year and you've got nothing, you think you're going to plant on that ground the next year? No. 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 But as we see the planting of Yeshua, as we see how He plowed the field and how he plowed the furrows and set the furrows straight, and how He planted the seeds and how He watered it, and how the Most High Yah give the increase. And now here we are in the harvest. And He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And here we are in harvest time. Harvest time to that we one another as a body should consider one another. This provocation from this confession, from this profession, this acknowledgement, this confession, for all of us to profess and to say the same thing. Let us look again on this, you know, as this profession. Profession, and my mind is turned back to, let us read and let us reflect on Hebrews 3, chapter 1. And it says, wherefore, holy brethren, you can be holy if you're not in the holiest. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Let us contemplate.
Let us observe. Let us understand. Let us consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Jesus. Christ Jesus. Our profession, our confession. Again, in 2 Corinthians. Oh, hallelujah. Let us go there. Mm-hmm. Boy, the bread is good. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify Yah for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Let us consider one another. Let us provoke one another to good works. Let us consider and provoke unto love and to good works. Again, well, let me see. Hebrews 4, reflection, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of Yah, let us hold fast our profession. We see. What? How do we see this? And why is it written this way? You brethren, you seeing something, seeing then that we have a great high priest. I wonder how we saw him. I wonder how we know him. I wonder how we're learning of him. But seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing through the heavens, Jesus the Son of Yah, let us hold fast our profession. Let us, the body, unto love and to good works. And notice, it don't stop there. This is a continuance, saints. This is a continuance, saints. Let us consider one another. Let us consider. Notice that us is a plural. Consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This forsaking? You know, Pastor, you know, he hit on those that forsook us, that forsook the faith, that forsook the body. And this tells us, you know, this has been building to a great climax. All of chapter 10, all of chapter 9, all of chapter 8, it's all building. Confession, profession. This tells us not forsake, not to leave behind. Don't abandon. Don't renounce. Well, we ought to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. But if we forsake, how can we consider one another? How can we provoke? How can we, as we fellowship one another, arouse one another to good works, to love? It tells us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And not only, you know, us, you know, as individuals being one, but even ourselves, that as the days go on, we are gathering ourselves. Many of us have been out there in the world and our minds have been fragmented. Our souls have been fragmented. Our spirits have been stolen from. But now that we are in Christ, all these things, he is returning us back to our wholeness. And we should not forsake this gathering of ourselves as he's gathered himself. He was gathering all this time while he was on this earth. He was gathering while he was taking his last breaths upon the tree. He was gathering when he was walking 40 days upon this earth. He was gathering when he poured out of himself his spirit, his power, his passion, his love, his provocation. And he has done this in such a mighty manner, this should be a boldness as we are in the holiest to provoke one another. Let us provoke, let us arouse one another. Forsake, to leave behind, to abandon, to renounce. And I looked at this word and I'm looking at it, forsaking. I'm looking, you know, I'm reading these verses, but I've got to read them in whole. Many times I've implored my brothers and my sisters not to let the verse numbers fragment your understanding, but let us consider this as a whole. But in that word forsaking is a word called sake, A-K-E. And let us look at that word sake. 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 And let's go to 2 John 1:2. Now let's look at some of these sakes that we should not forsake. 2 John 1:2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Look at that. Sake. For whose sake? Truth's sake. So if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we gonna forsake truth. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. And it says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace among yourselves. What the sake? The good? Meaning the good, the benefit, the welfare of somebody or something? It's a purpose of doing, obtaining, achieving, or maintaining something. Sake. Sake. Say Colossians. Colossians. Let's see here. We're at in Colossians. Chapter 1:24. And that says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind. Who now rejoice in my sufferings. This is Paul to the Colossians. Listen to it. Listen to it. Don't try to understand this from an outward perspective as though, you know, it's words in a book. But listen to Paul talk what was going on within himself. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And he says, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. For what? For his body's sake, which is the church. Forsake, forsake, forsake. Matthew. Chapter 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we looked at a few sakes that could be forsaken. And it tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But it says, but exhorting one another. And it says, so much the more. Why? Why so much more exhortation one another? As ye see the day approaching, and many of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear, we see this day approaching. And the closer that it gets, our profession, our confession, to arouse one another, to consider one another, to do this provocation, as we have been provoked, we provoke one another. And this is a good thing as a body. As a body. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And then it continues on. For if we, now that we have read all this, and we are at the pinnacle of understanding, of not forsaking the assembly, had to provoke one another, that we have a high priest over us, that we have boldness to enter into the holiest of all, that we should not forsake, because he did not forsake us, because he had our sake in hand. For if we sin willfully, this forsaking, if we sin willfully, if we forsake, for if we sin willfully, that you hear that word will, that means that everything that is in our being, that is in our thoughts, that is in our heart, that is in our soul, that is in our spirit, that if we make sin our will, and if we do it after having all of this put in our hearts, in our minds, that if we sin will and we do it fully, you hear that word. Hear that word? Many people look at this outwardly and don't really see what it says. You take your full will and you sin. If we sin willfully after all of this has been, we have witnessed this. This has been in our hearts and in our minds. We have entered into the holiest of all, and now all of a sudden with our full will, our full volition, our full power, we go back into sin. And it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge, in other words, the word of. Your pastor said yesterday that a lot of people have this outward knowledge. But we're looking at a word here that's talking about a knowledge that is in. A knowledge that is in. A pivotal word that we should not shrug to the side. After we have received the knowledge of. That, now that is a inward thing. The knowledge of the truth. The knowledge that is within the truth. Truth is something. Yeah, truth like, if you go outside and it's raining, you're going to get wet. Yeah, that is truth. But we're talking about the word of Yah. Talking about a straight path, a way of holiness. That if we have received sacrifice, that we have received blood, that we have received a high priest, and then after all of this that we have received and has been given us, and we go fully after sin with our will. Since there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Christ died once. Christ died once. Christ died once. you that are walking this new walk, you that are in this faith, you have died once. The sinning willfully is a dangerous thing. And if this takes place, there's nothing but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And Pastor touched on this yesterday, becoming an adversary of Yah. And we've seen so many people come into this walk, come into this talk, come into this life, come into this walk, and they went and sinned willfully. And nothing was left for them but judgment. And they became an adversary. And it goes on and says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. What? A law? And we know this covenant, its foundation is law in our minds and in our hearts. But the Moses' law, it was a temporary law. And now we have something on the contrast, we have an eternal law within us. And it's going on and giving a comparison, said that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And that is still building upon being sinned willfully. After you receive the knowledge of the truth, and you know, Christ don't know, there's no need no more to Christ to come along and walk that walk again, put himself upon the tree and die again. This is of how much more sore punishment. Suppose ye shall be, he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of Yah and accounted the blood of the covenant whereas he was sanctified, set apart. Now you said it's an unholy thing because you forsook. Had no sake in you. Your brother and your sister was not, their sake was not in your mind. The mind of Christ was not in you. The same thing, the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant, whereas he was sanctified, set apart, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And in this we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith Yeshua. And again, the Master, the Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yah. Saints of the Most High Yah, saints of the Most High Yah, let us meditate on this very thing right now. As you know, I've meditated on it much. But even in this, this is a bonus. This is a mighty thing that we have before us. I'll be back, saints, after this small break.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr., That's Charles Dowell Jr., and Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Ah, saints of the Most High Yah, bless you all. Bless you all. Another admonishment. Another exhortation not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. A lot has been said here this past week as we embark upon another week. Something to take us on. Something to give us strength. Something to power us. Something to embolden us. To give us joy. To give us strength. Knowing that we have a greater substance waiting on us. We should endure to the end. Let us consider one another, saints of the Most High, to arouse one another, provoke one another. Love, good works. But this is a beautiful thing that has been given into our hands. And we have the power to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be ye holy, for he is holy. Bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. Thank you, Brother Paul, Brother Ugly, Brother Steve, all that are gathered in this room tonight. I bless you all and thank you all. It's been a wonderful fellowship again. I thank Yah for his word. I thank Yah for his life. So I know without him, I can do nothing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and it should not prosper against you if this mind be in you as it was in Yeshua HaMashiach. Bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The King is coming.